You turn with you to the book of Psalms and the familiar words of Psalm 23. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want particularly to think of the first and the last verses of this psalm, but inevitably in getting from the first to the last, we will be touching on the other verses in between. There is a great difficulty, especially in handling a psalm that is so well known as this Psalm 23, because to say something new upon it is so difficult. But we often have to remind ourselves, it's not our words, that is the words of any human instrument, preacher or minister, that are important. What is important is God's word. And it is only to God's word that the promise is attached that it will not return to him void but effective in the ministry it is achieving. But there is also another danger here of being so familiar with these words that we lose their impact and the wonder of them upon our souls. Real problems in taking up and handling Psalm 23. Douglas Macmillan, who has written several chapters, he's written a book containing his sermons at the Evangelical Conference in Wales. He says in one of these chapters that it was 18 years in the ministry before he preached on Psalm 23. Such was his regard of the difficulties and the dangers in taking it up. Psalm 23 is composed by a shepherd in his latter days. It is used to illustrate Christian experience underneath the figure of a relationship with shepherd and the sheep. And so it is rich in illustration, in teaching, in comfort. And that richness is fully appreciated by those who have that similar or the same kind of background. Perhaps we ourselves all would qualify to some extent in that area. Coming from a rural community, we know what is involved in shepherding and looking over and looking after sheep. And therefore it's a psalm that echoes quickly and richly in our own soul. It is used in the depth of sorrow, sung as a prayer for deliverance. It is also used to express the riches of the gratitude of a Christian to the praise of the God who bestows liberal blessings upon us. And as we will see when we go through it in a moment, the psalm draws great arguments together. The psalm draws on the character of our God, the God who is my shepherd. It draws upon the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has achieved and accomplished. And it draws upon the experiences the Christian has as he or she follows the Lord. And these experiences are not one-off events, but they are testimony to the faithfulness of the Lord And we are entitled, I believe, to look to the Lord to repeat what He has done for us if our circumstances develop along similar lines. God is not a God of variance and fickleness, but our God is a God of faithfulness to His people. And as we have a rich experience at His hand, so that experience encourages and strengthens us to expect more of the same from Him. The Lord is my shepherd. I want us to think then of the personal relationship that is spoken of here right at the very beginning. It's a psalm which opens with a sublime simplicity. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a phrase, a statement, it's a reflection of a relationship which we can all understand. And the focal point of that relationship comes immediately to rest upon the Lord Himself. Who is it that is my shepherd? Who is at the center of this relationship? It is the Lord, my shepherd. And the word that is used there for the Lord is the word Yahweh. It was the sacred name of God used through the Old Testament. And it was regarded in such a way by the Jew that they would never pronounce it. They always put in an alternative set of Hebrew characters to express the name of the Lord. But the word that is given to us here, it brings home to us and it expresses and it conveys to us that God, the Lord who is set before us here, is a faithful God. He is a God who keeps covenant. He is a God that does not change, no matter how we see change or experience change ourselves. The truth that is set before us here is that this God is absolutely dependable in all the variations of life that we come across. He is reliable. Now, reliability is often an asset that is set before us in many of the adverts we see round about us today. Reliability is set before us in that simple saying, it does what it says on the tin. What is it doing but simply homing in on reliability? It does what it says on the tin. And the Lord is indeed reliable. He does what He has said in His promises. The Lord will do what He has given in His word. What He has promised, He will deliver. When you go back to the book of Joshua chapter 21 and verse 43, you find in that chapter 21, it's a chapter which gives details about the allocating of the land of promise to the different tribes of Israel. And as it sets out, comes to an end of that process of allocation, it says something and it zeroes in on some very vital quality that is important for the people then and for us now. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that He sware to the, back up to verse 43 of chapter 21. And the Lord gave Israel all the land which He sware to give to their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that He sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All of it came to pass. Now what an amazing pile up that is there of standard to meet. What an amazing wave after wave the writer sets out for us. What he swore, what he swore, what he spake. 3 times the standard is set for us. 3 times it's brought before us. We're never allowed to forget that God has spoken something. We're never allowed to forget that God has given something to His people. And the question comes back to us, does God measure up? The bar has been set that high. But will the Lord reach it? It's not 99.9% that is important. What the writer here is saying that 100% and that alone. But that's exactly what the Lord has done. Not one thing has failed of all the Lord has given to you. This is the character of our God, who is our shepherd. It's the faithfulness of God over the longest of time scales. If you go to Jeremiah 25 and verse 12, it there says to us that there was going to be an exile of the people of Israel for 70 years. And then when you put Jeremiah 25 side by side with 2 Chronicles, the very last chapter, chapter 36, and verses 17 through to 21, you find there that it says that God did this and God raised up this king to bring liberty to the people of Israel. And at the very end it says, so that the word spoken by Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The longest times, 70 years to the second, and it happened. We all have in our kitchens so much that has now got a best before date on it. We've got expiry dates on this, that, and everything. But there are no such things as expiry dates on the promises of God. What He has said, He will do, even over the longest time runs. That is His faithfulness. He will do what He has said in the face of the greatest of difficulties. Again, the words we find in Jeremiah, but that's only one example of many that we could take. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? We can have all the obstacles stacked up against God, and yet some more. But God will do what He has said. He will fulfill what He has spoken. This is the character of the God who is my shepherd. Faithful. Faithful right down to the very last thing that He has said and promised that He will do or that He will be to His people. But it's not enough. It's not enough that we know these facts and that we can quote these texts. It's not enough that we can listen with awe and wonder to these illustrations. We need to know this shepherd for ourselves. The first few words are, the Lord, my shepherd. We need to know that I am His and He is mine. If you go to John chapter 17, we are allowed to eavesdrop in upon the Lord as He prays in that chapter. And as you run down through the chapter, you come to verse 11, where the Lord refers to the way He's praying for people who are the gift of the Father to the Son. He opens a window on the transactions of heaven. And the Son counts each of these as precious to Him because they are the gift of the Father to the Son. And as the Lord looks down upon every one of His people, each one of his believing people throughout the years, he is reminded of that gift and of the Father's love that lay behind it. I am his because of a divine transaction and a gift of the Father to the Son. But he is mine also, and again there's a simple text in Scripture that helps us. Isaiah chapter 43, and the very beginning of it. He says, "But now thus says the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an interest in what happened upon the cross. And we're trusting now in that transaction for the salvation of our souls." At one time, these things didn't hold any interest for us. We didn't understand it, and we couldn't follow it. But the shepherd of which this psalm speaks, that shepherd came out after us. His word chased us. His word began to linger in our mind, and it was still there on Monday morning after the Sunday services. And then it began to be there still on Tuesday and on Wednesday, and it began to be more prominent and pushy, and it began to become more and more important to us, speaking deeply to our spiritual needs, challenging the very life that we lived and the way we were going. And the more that it came to us, the more we began to run harder, quicker, faster away from him. And the more we ran, the more the shepherd pursued us. Until we came to the end of our spiritual energy and resources and arguments. And the shepherd laid us upon his shoulder and took us back to the flock. We now trust in him. We now have an interest in him. We now have an interest upon the cross and at the cross, and we linger there constantly, wondering, worshipful at what happened there. The sacrifice that he offered is a sacrifice on my behalf. He did it to set me free. He is my argument before God. His righteousness covers and clothes my soul. He is my shepherd. That's what we need, every one of us, as our own individual testimony. The personal relationship that is spoken of and mentioned here. And the first steps of following the Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd, we can be very apprehensive in doing so. The apprehension doesn't come because of any question or doubt we have about a God who has done so much for us. No, the apprehension is with ourselves, because we can hardly believe the great things that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for my soul. The way in which he has set a tremendously rich table for our souls to feed on. The way in which he has done so astonishing, wonderful things that go beyond our deserving and our desert. And that causes apprehension to begin with. But the more that we go on with the Lord, the more confident we become. And that's what brings us to what we were saying there in Joshua 21. He never ever, ever lets us down. This is the character of the Lord, who is my shepherd. And because of that faithfulness on his character, meeting my needs and yours, what is it that the rest of that verse says? I shall not want. The Lord our God provides abundantly for our every need at the point of that need. Not what we want. Sometimes we want many things, but the Lord doesn't give what we want to us, because they would do us some degree of harm or hindrance. But it's different when a need arises. Because when a need arises, there is the Lord to meet that need in a way that brings praise and glory to his name. Varied, so varied are the needs that we have. Go back to Matthew's Gospel and the Sermon on the Mount, and there is expressed for us the apprehensions, the anxieties we can have about the clothing for tomorrow and our food for tomorrow and such like. Maybe not an appropriate way of expressing things in the Advent season between Christmas and New Year perhaps, but you know what I mean. We can be concerned over the basic provision of things. And the argument that is deployed there is the Lord who feeds the birds, and the Lord who causes the grass to grow, will that same Lord not also provide for those whom he loves deeply and cares for intensely? I shall not want. And when we lift our thought and our scheme again to a higher level and realm of spiritual needs, the spiritual demands that might be facing us in 2008 as we cross from one year to the next, again the same testimony is true. I shall not want. The one simple teaching of Scripture is that his grace is sufficient for my every need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now the rest of the psalm can be broken down, and it can be fairly interpreted to illustrate the very truths that we've been setting out there for us. I'm not going to linger upon them, perhaps just simply allude to one or two of them. He leads me. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He gives rest. The shepherd gives rest to his people, to his sheep. There is never lush grass growing out with the heat in the Middle East. Animals, beasts, and flocks are constantly on the move. And so often, being on the move, the danger is of being tired excessively. And when therefore a patch of grass and fertile feeding is discovered, the Lord immediately lets the sheep rest there in green meadows with appropriate grass that's needed for us. When rest is necessary and when feeding is required, the Lord knows how, and the Lord will bring rest to us, to think, to reflect over what he's telling us and giving us food, this time food for our soul. The still waters where we can, with quietness, peace and comfort, reflect upon God's work for us and the food provision he's made to us. Guidance for his sheep. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. We're all going astray like sheep. There's the heart of a sinner in every one of us. And we need to be redeemed and we need to be restored. But even when that does come, there is still the lingering of sin that is still within us. And sometimes we do wander. But when we wander, the shepherd rounds us up and brings us back to himself, leaving the 99 perhaps in the safe confines of a walled flank to seek out that one that has gone astray. There is no less a love to the 99 that remain behind in him going out after that one that is astray. And going out after the one that is gone astray shows the greatness of his love for each and every one of the sheep as and when that searching for them is necessary. He retrieves, he revives, but he also leads in a safe path. There are times when the path might be dangerous and we're afraid of that way, when we have to walk the way we know to be right and true, the path of righteousness. But we know that it's going to bring, as we were saying this morning, a deluge upon us of opposition and hostility. But the Lord will see us through that path, and he will keep us safe as we walk along it. He leadeth me. He is the one who leads his sheep along that path, the right path, for the reputation of his own name. He's the one that protects, and he is the one that provides. Again, we could take time to linger upon it. Sheep being skittish, they're always on edge sometimes when they know that there's danger lurking round about, or when there's a frightening narrow place, there's a dark patch, you'll find that they're then on edge. They're filled with alarm. Sometimes they can be spooked to such an extent that they either run or they just simply dissolve in paralysis of purpose. Fear of the unknown brings that upon us. But there's no change in the attitude of our Lord, the shepherd, with us. We don't run to get it over with. You know, that's the way some people react to this danger. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't run through it just to get it over with. We don't refuse to go into it because we're afraid of what it holds. We're told here that the shepherd walks with the sheep. He normally walks in the front and he leads them. That's what he says. He leads me in the path of righteousness. But when the danger comes close and when the sheep are skittish, you find that the shepherd drops back and comes beside the flock, so that his presence gives them peace and confidence as they're going through a dangerous place. He's beside us when we are going through these times of trouble and difficulty. Whatever 2008 might hold, you can expand it and develop and take it and hold it there for whatever it comes in the months that are before us. Protection. He feeds us. He gives us provision. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Whenever things are going hard and difficult for us, whenever we're strained to the extreme, here we have the Lord providing food to keep us, sustain us spiritually. And even in the battle and the hustle and the bustle of life, he anoints us. There are sheep that get scarred and scratched with the thorns wherever they're going and straying. Sometimes there's that scratch upon them and there's the danger of infection setting in, and the shepherd puts oil upon that scratch to heal, protect and preserve. So it is the Lord dealing with his sheep, his people. Feeding us, yes. And sometimes out of the battles we're involved in, he comes and he anoints us specially to keep us safe from the polluting influence of involvement in this world. We've run over the verses because I want to get to the last verse. Particularly to the last verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This sums up the experience of this particular shepherd, this particular sheep this David to the shepherd, his Lord. And it's an experience that we will all be engaging in these next few days, summing up, assessing. It's always done at New Year time. And as we perhaps join in with the rest of the population, we can survey our lives. We can see along the way God's attitude and God's dealings with us. An old shepherd, and it's quoted in one of the commentaries, an old shepherd quotes of two dogs rounding up the sheep as they were being driven along the Highland Road. Sometimes the sheep would go down a path and a track. Sometimes they would go into a ditch. Other times they'd go into a field that they had no right to be in. Sometimes one of the dogs would go out and round it up. The other time, down the other side, the other dog would go. And the old shepherd quoted the names of the dogs. One was called Goodness and the other was called Mercy. When the sheep dally and lag behind, separating from the flock, the dog comes and chases it along, rounds it up, brings it back. The loving kindness of the Lord is what is spoken of, the goodness, the loving kindness of the Lord shown to us when we don't deserve it, when we've strayed, when we've let things slip. Goodness and mercy. And as we assess our life this past year, or even as we take a broader sweep over our whole life, surely we can come to the same conclusion as we've given here, that God indeed has been good to us. That we can see these qualities of His dealing with us. Goodness and mercy. But there is one particular element of this that we've got to highlight. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And we think that that fits in well with the image of two sheepdogs chasing the sheep along the road. Dogs, sheepdogs are there and they're dependable and they're reliable. But there's something about God's dealings with us that is more than that. Here we are told the word follow is more active. There's more vigor, there's more initiative in these words of God's dealings with us. Here it is, they chase after the Christian. It's not just simply that they're there, and as long as the sheep are going along the path, they're at the back and they're not doing necessarily anything too drastic or too demanding. But what we've got here is the goodness and the mercy of the Lord, which is constantly going out, chasing after, seeking to bestow blessing upon God's people. That's what has been spoken of here and is a testimony of the Lord's people down through the year or the years. So we have to do what we were saying there and seeing from a reading in 1 Samuel 7. We have to raise our Ebenezer. We have to do our spiritual arithmetic. Talk with our soul of the many good things the Lord has given us in 2007. Perhaps over the whole of our life. Have we fallen flat? Or have we been faithfully kept? David, yes, he wrote these words for us, but away before he wrote these words, this is the survey of his life coming to the end of his life. Right at the very beginning of his life, when he was selected to go out and fight Goliath, he says, yes, 1 Samuel chapter 17 and 37. He could draw upon the experience as a shepherd even then, the way in which he had to fight the bear and fight the wolf and to deliver the sheep out of all of these dangerous circumstances. And as God kept him then when he was fighting and defending the sheep, so the Lord would fight for him and keep him as he fought against Goliath. Making his sums up and learning from them for what immediately faced him. As we make up our sums and as we think of what God has done for us, surely it comes down to two things for us also. It stimulates our praise of God for the year that is coming to a close. But it also stimulates our faith as another year opens up before us. Whatever 2008 holds, we can hold on to the character of our God, the God who changes not, the Lord who is my shepherd. We can hold on to the relationship that He has entered into with us. He is my shepherd. And we can hold on to the experiences we've had of Him, goodness and mercy following us all the days of our life. Whatever we've had in 2007, He doesn't change in 2008. Joshua says, cleave to the Lord your God. Cleave is one of these strange words. It means the opposite of itself sometimes. To cleave is to split, or to cleave is to stick. Joshua was using it in the word and the meaning to stick. Stick to the Lord. Don't falter, even although the difficulties get bigger. God has fought for you, he says there in Joshua 23:8. God has fought for you in the past, and he will still fight for you in the present. Never ever have you doubted the victory in the past. The Lord has never let you down then. He won't let you down now. Our hope in this year to come doesn't rest upon any kind of financial package. We hear of mortgage rates going down, but we don't put our hope and our confidence there exclusively. Our hope does not rest in any kind of political change, any kind of international agreement. We leave all these things and many others to the side. We look to who and what our God is. What we have discovered He is from His Word. What we've experienced from His hand in the past. And we are now firmly persuaded that He will not change in the future. So we go out into this new year looking to the Lord, and entertaining and holding on to this expectation, cleaving to it as Joshua tells us, holding on to this expectation in our soul and in our heart. The Lord is my shepherd. And setting it side by side with Psalm 115:12. The Lord of us hath mindful been, and He will bless us still. Let us pray. O gracious God and Lord, we have much reason to sing Thy praise when we think of the way in which Thou hast faithfully thought upon us, visited us, and blessed us. And we pray, O Lord and our God, that our recollection of these things might stimulate us in these moments and these days that are yet left to us, so that when we cross the threshold from one year to another, we may do so spiritually exercised both in worship but also in trust, so that no matter what the year might hold for us, we may be able to face it with this comfort to our souls. The Lord is my shepherd. Lord, in Thy grace, may we have that comfort this night and in this new year. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're going to close by singing that very psalm we were meditating in, Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. Psalm 23 then, the Lord's my shepherd. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.